Awesome. In our congregation, we depend on the Holy Spirit leading. He leads on all parts of what we do. We don't call one another and say, okay, do this song, do this. You don't, song people don't call me and say, well, they do this message or whatever. I entitled today's message, Amen La Milim, which means amen to the words, to his words. Amen to his words. When we first went to Israel, we learned that dance in 2004. Unity and some of us parents who went with them to chaperone them learned the dance. It's sung by Ofra Haza, probably the now many years dead. At the time, she was the voice of Israel around the world. A Yemenite lady, and always dressed with awesome taste. I'd like to play a little bit of her song in on a video so you can get to see what the Lord woke me up with as I was preparing this message. My original title for the message was The Importance and the Power of Speaking God's Word.
שירים ולחלומות אמן לילדים הרכים שבגן אמן לימים הטובים של כולם אמן למילים לכוונות אמן לשירים ולחלומות אמן לילדים הרכים שבגן אמן לימים הטובים של כולם תשוב בשלום ובעיניך הטובות תאיר את היום אז נשתוק ביחד את המילים בהן אותי אהבת כל הימים אז נשתוק ביחד את המילים בהן אותי אהבת כל הימים אמן למילים לכוונות אמן לשירים ולחלומות
Amen to the words, amen to the songs, amen to the children, amen to the heart that reaches out to him, amen to him in the morning, amen to him in the afternoon, amen to his words, amen la milim. Today's parashat begins by saying, see, see, the Lord said, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. Verse 27, the blessing if you listen to the mitzvot of Adonai your God that I am commanding you today. Verse 28 of Deuteronomy 11, but the curse if you do not listen to the mitzvot of Adonai your Elohim. But turn from the way that I'm commanding you today to go after gods you have not known. So today's Torah reading is, the first word is re'eh, which is Hebrew. It comes from the verb ro'eh, the pa'al verb ro'eh. Re'eh is past tense. Okay? So, see or you have seen. Maybe better translation. Another way to say this is the Lord's asking us to take a closer look. You know, use our eyes to take a closer look so that we can behold, which is another translation for re'eh, or observe, another translation of re'eh. It is interesting to me that this verb and the Hebrew word hineini, which means here I am, okay, are both translated behold. Behold. In other words, use your eyes to see. Today's reading deals with the choices that we have to make as we live a life dedicated to the Lord and dedicated to His Word, to His Torah. We must have spiritual vision. That's re'eh. We must have spiritual vision. And we need to have depth perception to see clearly what He means by the words, and how that affects our daily life. So, there was a song that, do you see what I see? Remember that? So instead of asking, do you see what I see? I think we should ask, do you see what I, Adonai, sees? Do you see what I, the Almighty, sees? Okay, that we have the potential to see through His eyes, to see through His mind, etc. And we have that. It's in written form. It's documented for us. We have His Word. We said that at the beginning of the service that Adonai exalted His Word, even above His name. Well, how many names does He have? 300? 3,000? It takes that many just to describe a little aspect of Him. Okay. Now, there's some that we use a lot, like El Shaddai, which means the Almighty God. Okay. Or El Elyon, it means God Almighty. Play on words. Okay. We have other names. You know, Adonai Tzidkenu, Adonai our righteousness, Adonai Mekadesh, Adonai our from Kodesh, Kadosh, our Holy One. Well, I felt from the Lord, the Almighty, that we need to reemphasize some truths from Scripture that are essential for our success in the revival that's already begun. But the thing about these words and these things is that they're rarely taught. In Christianity, they're just not taught very much. Then they're not taught at all. They're just not touched very much. Here's one in Mark chapter 11, verse 23 through 24. Amen. Oh. Amen lamilim. Amen. Yeshua used that. Amen lamilim. Amen I tell you, hear the words of Yeshua, which are yes and amen. If someone says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but trust that what he says is happening, so it shall be for him. For this reason I say to you, whatever you pray and ask, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I want to refocus today on the number one way that we can impact the unseen realm. What is the number one way? What is the best way? What is the godly way that we can affect that which is unseen? The Bible calls that heavenly places, the realm of the spirit. The answer is la milim, with the words, with our words. You know, whether we're releasing faith or we're releasing the power of the Ruach when it comes upon us and we speak in languages, etc., or we're warring against Satan's kingdom, the primary way we influence the spiritual world, the spiritual realm, is by what we say, by the prayer, by what's coming out of our mouth. Why? This doesn't need to be strange. This doesn't need to be something way out there, something very right here. Okay? This doesn't lead, I'm not trying to go to strange doctrines or obscure things, but rather, simply put, the power of the words that our mouth are using is the outlet of the spirit that's inside of us. The Lord put his spirit on us, and the spirit is able to communicate from, besides in our own, when we want to communicate with somebody else, and we don't have telepathy, nor will I ever will, etc. It's the outlet of our spirit. The words are the outlet of our spirit. You see, Yeshua said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if there's, in the heart, there's an overflow of love, then we speak love. If in our heart there's an overflow of gratitude, we speak gratitude. If in our heart there's an overflow of just being happy with the Lord, then happiness flows out of our mouth. This is in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Both love and blessing that are in our hearts are released and communicated as words. We don't have a gun, right? My love gun. I want to express love to even to one another. Now, I express love to John Davis and to Sam. And they express that back to me. We're not weird. And we want to release love from our hearts and say to one another, you know, words of love from the Messiah that's in us, from his spirit that's inside of us. We communicate it through our words. Unfortunately, we can not connect to the spirit, not connect to what's on the inside that's good. And sometimes we forget and take, as if it were, the Southern Bell cord that plugged to the correct line and plugged it to the incorrect line of our flesh, of the old man. And then what comes out of our mouth is no longer edifying. The scripture calls us cursing. In our Torah portion today, call that cursing. James, the brother of Yeshua, Yaakov, in James 3, 9, and 10, also in today's parashat, Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28, said that we have the capacity, okay, we have the capacity to take God's word and have it produce in us blessing, or to turn from it and go our way and let it produce from us cursing. James asked the question, how can both things proceed out of the same mouth? Well, we're better than the springs, right? The springs can only do sweet water or bitter water. Can't do both. But we allow ourselves to disconnect, pull the line from the connection that we have with the Spirit of God and plug instead to the line that is in our surrendered flesh, that it wants to take place in a big place. And then if that gets in our heart, if we dwell on such, out of the abundance of that, we will speak, and it will not be words of wisdom. It will not be words of love. It will not be words that edify. Instead, it'll be words that represent the state that we happen to be in. You know, faith, if you have faith in your heart, if you have faith residing in your spirit on the inside, it's also released through words. In Romans 10:10 and 2 Corinthians 4:13, it makes that very clear. So, we believe, we speak, and we're born again. We believe, okay, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and we experience this idea of being born again, this state of having been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. In today's, the first verse that I read, we can believe in our heart all the way and then speak, and mountains of adversity get gone. I think sometimes mountains of adversity are bigger than big mountains. Okay? Or at least they feel that way. That's what we read in Mark 11:23. Note the following. When the Almighty's preconditions or conditions are met, we speak the words, and they are infused with his power. And then life results from that. Now, in Job 6:25, the King James Version says, how forcible are your words? How forcible are right words? Most people are not aware that the Bible uses that terminology in the Hebrew to speak about his words. Job's words are forcible. Well, let's go to the Hebrew for a moment. Ma maratz. Ma maratz. This maratz actually means to press. This the idea of a rock being moved, you know, like in the cartoons, the rock is moving and you're inside and, oh no, you can't stop the rock. One of the biblical uses of this word describes a king pressing his seal of authority into a legal decree, as it was in the book of Esther, the signet ring. And then you seal it with the signet ring and it becomes the law of the land. Ahasuerus told Esther and Mordecai. So, you have the ring. I gave it to you. Use it. Write it. Write the letter. Write what you want and seal it with the signet ring, and it will be the law of the land. It makes it legally binding. In other words, the law of the land. Words seal and decree laws. Words can seal deals and decree laws. They are powerful. Yeshua said, even unto life and death. That's in Proverbs 18 and Deuteronomy 11 again. Okay? We can, by our words we justified, and by our words we might be condemned. That's in the New Testament. It's parallel to today's parashat that I just read to start with. We can be justified, blessing, or we can be condemned, cursing, by the words that we speak. That's in Matthew 12:37. The truth is that wars can be started with words. And love is communicated through words. Instruction and education is shared by words. Aaron says, I'm comfortable on the stage. Well, if you take into account that I started teaching at the University of Florida in 1970, that's 55 years ago that I've been standing in front of students at the University of Florida until 9 years ago. People are controlled by words. Lives can be shattered and healed through words. Words are the greatest conduit of authority and power in the world. How did the Lord accomplish everything that he did? We'll read the book of Genesis. It says, and Adonai spoke and said, let there be light. And you use that same construction, let there be this, let there be that. And it was. And it was good, it says. He created the world and everything in it. Ecclesiastes 12 and 11 said, the words of the wise are like goads. Their collective sayings are like firmly affixed nails. They have been given by one shepherd, the master craftsman, one shepherd, the creator of all things. You see, nails help us build things. Nails help us construct, assemble, and hold things together. Well, according to the verse that I just read in Ecclesiastes, so do words. They do the same thing as nails do. Okay? And if we're not careful, we can use the hammer and miss and get the thumb. The master craftsman himself used the words, his word, to create the earth, the seas, the mountains, and all the things that are in it. In our Siddur prayer, he being merciful, we say that he forgives iniquity and does not destroy. Okay? In another prayer that I used to do every service, and for many years, it was Pat Henderson's prayer, I called it. Because I called him Pat Henderson to say the English part of that. In the past, God spoke through the prophets and many times in various ways. But now in the end of days, he has spoken to us by Yeshua, the Messiah, his son, whom he made the heir of all things. The son is the full radiance of God's glory and the flawless manifestation of his reality. He sustains all things by his powerful word. He sustains all things by his powerful word. So there's an example of the book of Hebrews. The beginning of the book of Hebrews speaks about Yeshua as being the creator, the word of God made flesh, the creator of all things. And the one who sustains all things by his powerful word. It said, after he made atonement for sin, he joined the place of authority besides the majesty in heaven. So we know that he's seated currently at the right hand of the Father. At the place of authority, the right hand of the Father means that he is the authority of the Father. That he is the executor of the authority of the Father. And Yeshua is the Devar Adonai made flesh. The Word of God is so powerful that the Word of God became incarnate. The Word of God that was in the Torah became incarnate and dwelt among us and went and gave his life, earthly life, to be exalted by the Father, resurrected, so that where is death thy sting? Where is grave thy victory? because you couldn't hold, you couldn't sustain, you couldn't do anything with the Lord of glory. Luke's gospel says that even the incarnation, this when the Word became flesh, when Yah is becoming human, was associated with words and his spirit acting together. Words and his spirit acting together. When Mary asked, how can she, a virgin, could have a child? The angel spoke words and said that the power of the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and impregnate her. In Luke 1:35. And then it's interesting that the angel repeats a passage in other places in Scripture. The angel says, nothing will be impossible with God. Mary said, let it be done to thy servant according to your word. The Scriptures, essentially says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she conceived. A literal and accurate rendering of this, nothing will be impossible with God, is this one. No word spoken by God is without power. No word spoken by God is without power. What an amazing statement. When we go back to the original text in the Greek in this case, and what a ramification does that have for us? Our all-powerful Elohim, our all-powerful Yah, infuses transcendent power through his word. They become the carriers of awesome strength. We continue to talk about his word a little bit more. The Almighty also calls his word a sword, the sword by which he rules and judges. His declarations not only create and build, but they judge and destroy. They are both constructive in things of good and destructive for those things that are evil. Consider the following. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face looked like the sun shining in his strength. Revelation 1:16. Jump to further in Revelation 2:16. And says, the Spirit speaking to the congregation says, repent, or else I will be coming to you quickly. I will make war with the sword of my mouth. So look, Adonai's word is all powerful. Adonai's word has the capacity to build up things that need to build up and tear down things that need to tear down. When used correctly, right? But did you know that the Almighty has the capacity to speak the future? You know that the Almighty's words are not always necessarily for the moment, but for what's about to happen as well? It's not only present, it's ever present. It actually makes ever present the future. Some declarations of Adonai are for this time, and in some declarations of Adonai are for the time to come, such as the book of Revelation has a lot of declarations for time to come. But that's not the only place. In Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, the Almighty said about himself, I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that have not been done, saying, my purpose will be accomplished, and I will accomplish all of my good pleasure. So he stands outside of time. You can't You know, time doesn't apply to an infinite being because an infinite being has infinite time. So you don't need a thing to mark his time. We don't need a stopwatch. For him, it's all going. He stands outside of time and looks ahead for us. He's outside of time. We are the ones bound by time. And stands outside it, declares, even for us, declares things in the future. And you know, when he declares those things, if they're for the future, what happens? Time will go by, and those words will come around, and there it is, the fulfillment of his word. You can say a decree of Adonai, and it can be for the moment. It can be for the day, for the week, for the person. But you can also decree things that Adonai has said. You can also decree, say his word. What do you say, but why do you say decree? Well, they're the words of a king. The words of a king are decrees. Come on. The words of a king are decrees. So the words of Yeshua are decrees for sure. And then you can say those words, and if they're meant for later, watch time, watch the earth, watch everything align to bring it to pass. How preposterous is it for people and foolish people to think that they could outwit or overpower him? So what I'm saying is, when time catches up to a decree that is for time to come, a decree that the Almighty made regarding the future, what happens is he often involves you and I in the fulfillment of those decrees. This is powerful. When the Lord makes declarations about the future, and we who have been given authority on the earth declare those words, make those declarations of the king, it will happen. This will be what happens. And we make those declarations. Okay? We are now spokespeople for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what happens is when those things begin to pass, we who have declared it get the opportunity to be involved in the fulfillment of it. If we say what he says, if we say everything that he said, we become his voice on the earth. I mean, the book can testify. And the book does testify. Come on. But often, it's our mouth that testifies what's in the book. And we become the words, the edict. That becomes now real. We who are made in his image and likeness, by making those declarations, making things, what declaration? His declaration. I'm not saying, you know, come up with who made you king. We're not the king. But we got his words. We got his edicts. If we declare his word and declare his edicts, we become the mouthpiece for the kingdom. The Almighty says of himself, I am God and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, with things which have not been done, and my purpose will be established. The Bible also says in Job 22:28, you will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you. The light will shine on your ways. Literally, we could say the first part of this verse is, you will decree not a thing, because he said, that's a King James translation. Decree a decree. You will decree a decree. That sounds like playing games with words. It's the noun and the verb form. Decree, the verb, a decree, the noun form. Same word. That's not unlike Hebrew, by the way. not unlike Hebrew at all. When we discern the Almighty's will, His decree, what He has determined about a situation, then, and we speak it, then our mouth issues His decree that He already had in His mind and He's got it set up for a specific time. That's incredible. The scripture says that once we decree His decree, don't miss the rest of the verse, it will be established. It will be established. That means that sometimes the reason a lot of things aren't happening is because not enough of God's people are decreeing His decree about the situation and so that it can get established. When the verse says, then says that when we decree His decree, it will be established. What is the word there in Hebrew? The word is kum, from lakum velamod, a dance we all know. Okay? Lakum, kumi ori. Arise and shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's kum. Means to rise. It describes a variety of activities. One of the lexicons says it's used to depict the Almighty's creative sayings and judging actions rising up. Let me say that again. One of the lexicons in the New Testament in the Bible world is used to depict that the Almighty's creative saving and judgment actions are rising up, getting up from dormant, as if it were, as a person gets up from his bed. When we decree the Lord's word, it releases creativity. It releases His salvation, and yes, even His judgment. So here's the bottom line. So what are you saying? Do you want to have your words last forever? Do you want your words to have the power of deity? Do you want your words, your thoughts, to be able to change the world? The answer is, you can. You can. But instead of going to sleep and thinking about you, meditate on His word and let His words that He said come out of your mouth. No, you're not God. But if you use His words and they come out of your mouth, you are decreeing the decree of the King, the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when those words are spoken, it's like when the Lord told Ezekiel, Ezekiel, what do you see? I see a dry valley. I see some bones. And the Lord said to Ezekiel, prophesy unto the mountain. Okay? It's like, this is me imagining Ezekiel at that moment. What do you want me to prophesy? Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. He prophesied. And then description comes and the song can be sung. You know, the right bone together to the left bone together, you know. Hear the word of the Lord. And an army appeared. Okay? And the army needed to have life. So the Spirit of God blew on those bones and they became flesh again. Situations, we are in times when situations are really difficult. We are entering into a revival. Revival means to revive, which means there's some dead stuff around that needs to get out of the grave and out of the ground and stay. Again, we could say, well, that's us, you know. I don't think that's us, but we have some measure of that, okay? We have some slumber and some that we haven't been able to accomplish as his congregation, as his ecclesia, part of his ecclesia. The word ecclesia doesn't mean church. The word ecclesia means governing body. Governing what? The kingdom of heaven that's at hand. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how we told to pray. What are we praying? We're praying that whatever is being done in heaven be done on the earth. And in order for that to happen, the kingdom that is in heaven has to come to the earth. We are the proclaimers of that. We are the proclaimers of the kingdom of heaven that is at hand. Yeshua gave us that ministry. He gave it to his disciples. He gave it to you and me. You know, we want to speak good things to people and sometimes find ourselves not knowing what to say. What do I say to the person that's asking for money at Walmart? You could give them a dollar or whatever and be blessed. Or you can think about something that is in his word that Adonai said and speak it over them. And also give them money, or better, give them some food. They want money for food, so then take something from the grocery bag and give it to them. Then there's no chance that they'll buy drugs with it. Because we have to have it all figured out. What do you say to the cashier that with all the piercings and whatever that taking care of you at the checkout line? I learned from Ron Leaf, that's Vanessa Leaf's father, that every time that he sits in a restaurant and the girl comes in, the server comes in to take the order, he says, "We're about to pray for our food. Is there something that we can pray for you?" And nobody says, they do this. And then they go, "Oh." And they'll say something. What is important to them. And we pray for that. He prays for that, and we pray for that when I've been with them. A good way to be. What are we going to give the world? The world needs Yeshua. The world needs the Father of Yeshua. The world needs the Word of Yeshua. We are empowered with it. The best thing we can give somebody is not my words. It's his word. The best thing that I can speak to a situation is his word, not my word. The beauty of that is that when I speak his word to a situation, and what comes out of my mouth is his word, I don't have to worry about if it's right or wrong. I don't have to worry about if it's going to accomplish or not accomplish. If I say his word, it will happen. Because he's infinite. He said, "Look, I declare the end from the beginning, and what I say will stand." And that's in all over the scripture. We have to, in this next season, we've got to adopt a new way, a new speech pattern. And that is to repeat what he said. Well, how do you know what's important? Duh. It's all important. You don't have to worry about, well, let me go research the Bible and see if I can find something. Oh, that sounds like, let me go with my intellect and let me judge God's word so that I can figure out what's important and what's not. Yes, God forbid, Paul said. We've got to be able to, in this season of revival, to speak words of life. What are those? There's 66 books of it. 66 books of it. It's all good. Pick one and do it. Pick a proverb for the day. Pick a proverb portion for the day. Pick a psalm. No, today is the 23rd. So what's the psalm for today? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Adonai ro'i. Want to say it in Hebrew? Lo echesal benot deshe darbisheni almei nuchot yenachaneni. So today is the 23rd Psalm. It's, you would read the 23rd Psalm, and at 30, the 53rd Psalm, and at 30, the 83rd Psalm, at 30, 113. 113. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name to be praised. And then 143. You might want to look at 143, the psalm about praise. And then Proverbs 23. Don't know what to say when 23. Go find the 23s in the Bible. Read Luke 23. You know, find Matthew 23. Find, you know, well, you can't do James 23 because he only wrote 5 chapters. So you have to make it, okay, James 1, 23. Or 1 Peter 2, 23, if there is such a thing. I mean, you can. There's all kinds of creativity that can come when we make our words His word. When we take His word and make it what we say, the basis of our communication becomes then that which comes from Him. You don't have to worry about it anymore. We can be in a state of continual success. And what if that doesn't apply right now? Well, then it's prophetic. It will apply. And because you declared it, what tends to happen is that when the fulfillment of that happens, you'll have some part in it. There's a whole segment of Christianity that has gotten a hold of this. It's not a big segment. It's the prophetic world and the intercessory world. But we have got to get a hold of this, in my opinion, and become the speakers of His word, knowing that we are what we say that He said carries with it. Those words carry with it the power of a king, the power of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know, when that we allow that to happen, I believe that we'll be in an excellent way to deal with the revival that's about to come. All of this was I didn't make up all this stuff, okay? I edited it and worked on it like all good teachers do. This is actually, today's message comes from Giving 15 Devotional, Volume 1. The name of the chapter in Volume 1 was Releasing Power. The author is Dutch Sheets. He shared this. Similar, I mean, I used the TLV, he used some other translation. I added things here and there and whatever. I made it my own so that I could preach it as my own. But I want to acknowledge that he did, Mr. Sheets, that Sheets inspired me. I got it because Marilyn said, at the first of the week, you got to listen to this. Sit down and I'll read it to you. Or I'll send you the link. I said, I got the link. It's August 1, the August 1 message. was essentially called Releasing Power. I entitled it The Importance and Power of Speaking His Word. If I make my words His words, things are going to change. I'm telling you, things are going to change for you and for me. This is the prayer that he closed his broadcast with. So this is verbatim his prayer on August 1st. He calls it his prayers and decrees. So let's hear what he said. Father, we release the power of your words into America. We declare that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's Psalm 24. It all belongs to you. You are the king of all the earth. Psalm 47, verse 7. All authority on earth belongs to you. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. That's in Matthew 6, verse 10, at the conclusion of the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Therefore, we declare the release of your authority over the government of America. You are dismantling the arrogant systems and political forces that have exalted themselves against you. All who have opposed you, along with the strongholds they have built, are being pulled down. And all unrighteous laws they have written will be reversed in the coming season of revival and information, which we have entered into that season. Your angels are on the move right now to expose and dismantle the evil of unrighteousness leaders. Why? Because we declare God's word. We collectively have been declaring God's word against those that oppose God. Not in specific, but anybody that opposes God. It doesn't matter what their name is. We decree your word, Lord, over America. And we say, like you said, your kingdom come, your will be done on America, in this land. Matthew 6:10. All this we do in the name and with the authority, I'm just quoting what he said, of Yeshua. The world's getting it, by the way. They're getting it. They're becoming more messianic as time goes by. So, I was meditating on this on Thursday night, during the night watches. And the Lord said, Amen, Lamilim. Amen to the words that I was meditating on. Amen to those words. The Lord saying amen to his word and to you being able to say it. The Simpkins are going to join their son and a bunch of people that have lived with them over the years. They're going to find like four or five daughters and different people that have lived with them in the last many years. They all live differently, but they all converge into Carmel, USA, which one of the big important people for that is their son, Joseph, was one of the premier teachers for that. And Joe was jumping up and down last week saying, I'm going to go. I can prove that I can go because he came in the circle and danced. Couldn't do the turn super well, and neither can I. You know, when I dance, I instead of making a full turn, I make like 75%. That means I'm 25% behind. So when the next part of the dance comes, I arrange my feet so that I can move to where I should have been had I been able to do the turn properly. So that on the next step, by the second step or the next two steps, I'm where I'm supposed to be. It's not ideal, right? Because the circle looks like it's expanding and contracting. especially if this not glorified body yet is there. But the intent is there. I want to bless you, and you're going to something that's been dear to our hearts from the beginning, from many, many years ago. And maybe they'll dance Amen La Milim when you're there. Kathy's not here yet, but she would have known the dance. And she's going as well. Okay, awesome. Then, let's finish with John. Just play a little bit of that song, Amen La Milim. It's in your audio. Type Amen La apostrophe Milim. Find the one that has the most plays, and that'll be the safest one. The words that describe our world that the Lord created. So, when you don't remember her words or any other song, you can remember His words. You can lower it down. You got the point. So, Amen La Milim. Amen to the words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me in path of righteousness for His own name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table in front of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Sing the words. Le'orech yamim. All the days of my life. Thank you, Lord. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. Please stand and let me dismiss you with prayer. Father, we thank you for empowering us to speak your word. We can speak your word. And actually, you're waiting on us to do so. That's another mystery. Because your words are declared. They're already written. But how does today people know what you said? They don't read the book. They don't. So you're waiting on us to find the words in your book, then declare those words. When we declare them, we are doing what Yeshua said. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth is mine. He got it back from Satan at the cross. Now he's getting ready to leave. All authority is given to me now. Okay? But I'm going to sit with the Father. Therefore, go ye and go all throughout the nation, throughout the world, and speak the things that you've heard me say. Speak the word of God. And when you speak the word of God, people will be saved. People will be healed. All kinds of things happen. What if we don't ever speak it? We just assume that because he spoke it, then that's it. Well, you know what? It is that's it. He will take care of it sooner or later. But he's maybe, perhaps, have given us the capacity to help, to make it happen, to declare it so that it can happen. The angels are waiting for your mighty declarations so that they can go do what the word of God said. And they don't need permission to do the word of God, do they? We gave them permission when we said it. We speak his word, and we are giving permission for the word of God to be executed by the armies of God, because he is Adonai Tzvaot. He's the mighty one. He is the army, the God of armies. And those armies are ready to do what they need to be done. If you can, please imagine during this week, even just once, allow something to come out of your mouth that you can say, well, that's a declaration of Adonai. And if it's his declaration, you don't have to worry about it. You are now a perfect in your declarations. You know, you're people can look at you and say, how did you know that? And if it does come to pass in your work, in your environment, in your grocery store, in your gas station, wherever, and you make a declaration that you're led to by the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and it comes to pass, and you come back, they might look at you and say, hey, you prayed for me. You said this about me, and it happened. Then you can go ahead and say, okay, pay me. No, we don't. This is our privilege. We have the key to the vault of all the good things that Adonai has for his people. We have the key. That means that we can go in there and take from his vault and disperse it. He gets the glory. You get the privilege of being the spokesman for the king. That's an awesome kind of thing. Amen. Father God, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have given us your word. I thank you, Lord, that we actually not powerless, we're powerful. We are loaded with power with your word. Lord, help us to see that it's not our responsibility to make that happen, but yours. All we have to do, our responsibility is to say your word. Speak your word to situations. Speak whatever is this week. Just speak his word to the person or situation. Even if nobody's listening. You know, nobody seemed to be listening when Ezekiel was told to speak to the mountains. Like, ain't nobody here but dead people. Okay, so evidently, it was sufficient enough that in just the act of obedience, of prophesying to the mountains, a revival came. Hear what I'm saying? A revival came. And a new army was formed. We are in that place. Thank you, Lord, that we are in that place. Thank you, Lord, that we have work to do. We have good work that we can do to be agents of revival to our city. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thanks.